Welcome to Reformation Platform Media. And now, we present to you God's Word, which is able to save your soul. Please, listen with your heart as the servant of God brings us the Word of Life.
Let me help to quickly jump and embrace that suffering rather than compromising in the name of Jesus. Let me find living for Lord, living for Christ and living the life of holiness in suffering than compromising compromising the life of holiness for the little gain that I want to have from sin. In the name of Jesus. Lord, please do this in my life. Do this in my life. In the name of Jesus. Let the joy, let the satisfaction, let the pain that come from suffering for Christ, let it be more interesting, let it be more acceptable, let it be more embracing. Let me, oh God, than the little gain that come from sin. In the name of Jesus. Lord, please do this in me in this meeting. Lord, do this for us, oh God. Lord, do this. Let me find it easy to lose in order for me to live for righteousness, to lose everything, to lose whatever I had to lose, but to keep my stand with you, for me to keep the life of holiness, for me to keep my relationship with you, for me to keep my communion with you. Lord, help me, O God, to be ready to lose whatever it will take me to lose in order for me, O God, to stand with you, for me to remain with you in the name of Jesus. Lord, make it impossible for me, let me find it difficult and impossible for me to lose my relationship with you for sin in the name of Jesus. Oh God, make it impossible for me, make it difficult for me to compromise my relationship with you. In Jesus' name, we pray. I want lastly on that particular verse says that, Lord, more faith in my Savior. More faith in my Savior. I want us to pray. I know that yesterday's didn't touch this, and I want us to pray with it again, that Lord God, help me to find more faith in you. In the name of Jesus, the faith that overcomes sin, faith that overcomes the world, faith that overcomes worldliness, faith that overcomes sin, faith that overcomes worldliness, faith that overcomes self-will. Lord God, please, we ask this morning, help us to find faith in you. We thank you, our God. In Jesus' name, we are praying. In Jesus' name, we are praying. Lord, we ask that as we go into this teaching this morning, we ask that you speak to us and give us grace to move away from where we are to where you want us to be. In the name of Jesus, thank you, our God. In Jesus' name we are praying. Amen. Good morning once again. You are welcome to RPDI Ministers Training, Day 3. My name is Shegun Downsi. I'll be leading us in the teaching. Sin, what to know and how to be free. Sin, what to know and how to be free. Okay, the word sin is very popular. I'm sure we've, one way or the other, had a message or a teaching on this particular topic before. And also, I also know that there are quite a number of us here that have had this particular teaching more than once. But this morning, I pray that the Holy Spirit will send it to us afresh. In the name of Jesus. And the reason for sending this message or this teaching will be accomplished in our lives in Jesus' name.
One thing about the minister's training that is beyond, and of course importantly, we all know that the first thing the Lord wants to do and the major thing the Lord wants to do is to change our own lives, is to make us true, like one of the prayers that we prayed, to make us true, to make us what He wants us to be, to make us, first of all, the doer, before the teacher. And secondly, I also know that it does not, as we are going to be doers, He also wants us to be agents that will represent His interest on every matter wherever we are found. Please, do you understand that? That we will represent His interest, or will represent Him, or will represent heaven wherever we are found at all times. Such that we will be light in the midst of darkness, and we will be so lighted that darkness will not be able to stand or prevail or overcome wherever we are found. And I pray the Lord will do that in our lives in Jesus' name. So we start with definition of sin. Lesson 1, the definition of sin. 1 John chapter 3 verse 4. 1 John chapter 3 verse 4. Sin is lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. And lawlessness is being unrestrained by God's will. Sin is lawlessness. It's being unrestrained by God's will and being unregulated by His command. It is being unrestrained by God's will and being unregulated by His command. For if I want to say it in another way, I will say that sin is when a man is not being stopped from doing some things that he shouldn't do by God's word, and is not being moved to do things that is expected to do according to His word. Please, I will take that again. When a man is not being stopped, that is, you want to move and the word of God is telling you or to stop, and that is not enough for you to stop and you keep moving. Do you understand? And when the word of God is not the reason why you are moving and doing what you are doing, or when His command, His promptings, is not the reason why you are doing what you are doing. So that is what it means to be unrestrained by God's will and unregulated by His command. So just like a machine, what makes a machine to move is when there is a supply of power. When the supply of power is taken away, the machine stopped working. But when the machine keeps working, even while the supply of power has been taken away, that means it has been able to get power from another source. Do you understand? So if it is not the word of God that is making you move, or it is training you from doing things, that means you have either been cut off from God's own will and His command, and you are getting command. You are getting a command to move. You are getting a command to stop from another source. Do you understand? I'm sure you know that there are other sources that make men to do what they are doing. Amen. Okay. Please can we read that Bible passage? If you can, especially if you can get it from ASV translation. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. But you can read the translation that I have with you. Let's go. King James, Amplified. Everyone who sins is breaking God's law. All sin is contrary to the law of God. Thank you, ma. Yes. Everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness. And sin is lawlessness. ignoring God's way, ignoring God's law by action, or neglect, or by tolerating wrongdoing. Being unrestrained by His command and His will. Thank you.
Okay.
Lawlessness is chaos. I'm taking lawlessness now as in just to explain lawlessness a bit. Lawlessness is chaos. It is a disorder. Lawlessness is chaos. It is a disorder. That is a disruption of the normal order or proper flow of things. Lawlessness is chaos. It is a disorder. That is a disruption of the normal order or proper flow of things. Of the normal order or proper flow of things. We are going to be looking at sin in different definitions. So we have to do some writing. Though I will take it a bit slow. Lawlessness is chaos. It is disorder, that is disruption of the order or proper flow of things. You know, I'm sure you all know that chaos or disorder is abnormality. When things is not in a normal way that it should be. Eh? When, for example, now, if a chair should be, if this chair should be standing like this, and it is now done this way, we know that somehow, within us, without being told, you know that this chair is not standing well. What you will do is to just pick the chair, especially if it is in your house. Eh? And put it the way it should be, isn't it? Lawlessness is putting things the way it should not be. Are you getting me? It causes chaos. Now, when in our own setting as human, whenever it is found, when you get into a place, even if it is not your own place, for example, if you get into a house where the place is scattered, there is a way you will feel within, even if you don't have the opportunity to talk, or if you don't want to talk. You will just feel that this place is not in order. Even sometimes when you are not, if that is not you came, if that is not what you are there for, but immediately you get it, you will just feel that something is not in place and is not in order. Even sometimes, if somehow some of us don't even know what is not in order, there is a way you will feel and you will just feel uncomfortable and feel somehow. Now, so if you get to a place and you find that place not in order, there's now, for example, thank you, Holy Spirit. If I want to study the Bible, I want to pray, or I want to do something serious, if the place I am is not in order, I can't, somehow I will not be able to do it. Do you understand? Somehow I will just find it. I'll just find the environment uncomfortable for me to get those things done. Now, there's this thing that wherever disorder is, there is a repelling force within us. And there's that thing that wants to put it in order. In fact, we will not stop until those things are put in order in a normal human setting. We will want to make sure that things are put in order before the proper things start. Now, the same way in the kingdom, it is going to be that until things are put in order, what the Lord wants to start and wants to begin cannot begin in the life of a man. Just to get to that point. For example, the thing that the Lord has proposed to do through you will not start until things are put in order in your life, until sin is off. Do you understand? Don't forget, sin brings about disorderliness. Now, until that thing that brings about or that causes disorderliness in our life is taken away,
what the Lord wants to do through you as a vessel will not start until it's taken away. For example, you will not start a football match when you have stones on the field. You will not start a race where on a track where you have things that can make the racer slip on the floor, on the track. So before the proper thing starts, the improper thing, the things that are not proper, will be taken away and must be taken away. So shame brings about disorderliness. I'll take the next one. Although there will be one or two class discussion in this one, but when we get there, we'll do that. Judges chapter 21, verse 25. Thus to explain lawlessness. Now, in the original languages, sin is defined in its vileness and manifold manifestations with different terminologies. Sin is defined by his different way of manifestation. Sin is defined in different terminologies. I will take that again for you. Because of the way, different ways sin manifests or manifests itself or expresses itself, sin is defined in different terminologies. And that is what we are going to look now. We are going to look at just five of them or four. The first one is sin is transgression. Sin is transgression. Transgression is overstepping of the law. Sin is transgression and overstepping of the law. Psalm 51 verse 1. Overstepping of the law, overstepping the divine boundaries between good and evil. Overstepping divine boundaries between good and evil. Please can we read Psalm 51 verse 1?
Psalm 51 verse 1.
Yes, sir.
Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions.
Thank you. So, sin is transgression. Transgression is overstepping of divine boundaries. Divine, overstepping of divine law, or overstepping of divine boundaries between good and evil. Two, sin is iniquity. Sin is iniquity. That is an act inherently wrong, whether expressly forbidden or not. An act inherently wrong, whether expressly forbidden or not. It can also be said to be a departure from what is right. Psalm 51 verse 9. The first one you read was verse 1, right? Verse 9 now.
Psalm 51 verse 9. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities.
The first one is overstepping, that is transgression, overstepping of divine boundaries between good and evil. And this is iniquity here, that is what is inherently wrong, whether it is expressly forbidden or not. It is an error or departure from what is right. Departure from what is right, an error. When a man departs from what is right in the sight of God, it is sin. What is departure from what is right in the sight of God, it is sin. The third one, sin is missing the mark. That is a failure to meet divine standard. A failure to meet the divine standard. Romans 3 verse 23. Sin is missing the mark, the failure to meet divine standard.
Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
For all have sinned, have come short of the glory of God. Very quickly, I also want to say things here, few things, or maybe one or two things here. If possible, I would like to ask one or two questions from the class. One of the things that is very, very important as Christian is to know that there is God's standard for everything. Two,
It is also important that you know that the standard of God has been before any standard. So the standard of God did not come, or it was not originated or created so that it can correct the existing standard. Please, are you getting me? The standard of God had been before any standard. It is the way that has been before any other way was introduced. Now, I want to give us a picture of how God sees things, or how they see things in heaven. So when things are done not according to the standard that had been in the beginning, they mark it as unacceptable and wrong. They are not used, and they do not know any other standard than God's own standard. So for man, what by our nature, what we are used to, and what we know, is the other standard, the lower standard, the standard that is not acceptable in heaven. So for us, it remains a standard. And when we do things according to that standard, for us, it is normal. Please, are you with me? For the flesh, it is normal. But in the kingdom, it is an abomination. And that is how they view it. So when a man comes, a double standard man, or a man with another standard comes, they see that man, they mark him as unacceptable. And that is how they treat everyone that comes with the standard that is not God's standard. So it's just like when in a particular kingdom there's a way they do things. This is the way it is done, and that is the way it should be. And when somebody comes in with another, for example, now here, what we do is when we put on our clothes, there's a way we put on our clothes where, for example, okay, we don't just get here. And of course, I know that you know that there are places where in the world, a part of the world, that men wear skirts. So, as we move around, everybody with trousers looks normal. Abi? But immediately you see a man that is from another kingdom with skirts, immediately he comes in, how would you look at that man? You look at him like a madman. Even when you know that there are places where they wear skirts. I don't know if you get what I mean. I'm sure you all know that there's a place where men wear skirts. There's a country. Oh, you don't know? So when that man comes in, you will be laughing. You will just be looking at that man. You will look awkward. If you knock at your door, before you even say hello, you first of all ask him. You may want to first of all ask him, within you, are you okay? And I want to tell you, no one will want to accept such man into his abode until his way of dressing has changed. That is the way it is. When you come with another standard and you knock at the door of heaven, you look upward, they view you, they see you as an abnormal person. There's various ways. Now, in doing things, no matter how little it is, at work, at home, in the way we raise our children, in the way we conduct ourselves on the streets, with our neighbors, with the work that the Lord has committed to our hand as workers and ministers, God has standard, doesn't He? And when that standard or where that mark is missed, how will you be viewed? It will not be accepted, unacceptable. Even when we do our secular works, when it is not according to a standard, it will be unacceptable and it cannot overcome the world. It will be unacceptable and it cannot overcome the world. Now, can I have the mic? Okay. I want us to give examples, practical examples, because I don't want to begin to give you here practical examples of areas of how we miss the mark. Do you understand? Of how we miss the mark as Christians in church, as Christians at work, as Christians at home. Please, do you get that? I just don't want church. I want at work, at home, also in church. Please. Belawan, you can start now.
I think one of those things that makes a Christian miss the mark in church is late coming. I think late coming is a particular issue that when a Christian is consistent in making, in coming late, looks somehow. So that's one thing for me.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes.
Okay. We can, as a Christian, I can miss the mark when my feeling, when I feel, when I decide to rely on my feelings, like in the church or at home, when certain instructions are to be followed, and is I know what the Word of God is saying concerning these instructions, and when I now feel it should go this way, I think if it goes this way, it will be faster than if I hold on this way. Because sometimes the Word of God, when it comes, sometimes for a carnal mind, maybe slow for a carnal person. But when you feel this is faster, I can go this way. So one can miss the mark.
Thank you. Thank you. I'll begin to mention it now. Don't waste our time. We are Brapalade. How do we miss the mark as song ministers? Brapalade, Bradusha will talk about that. How do we miss the mark as song ministers? Maybe as instrumentalists or something. I don't know. In church. Yes.
Okay. As song ministers, we know in scripture also that there are two things that are required of us. First of all is we have to be spiritual.
Everybody will talk. So
and then we have to also acquire some level of skill also. Now, if as a minister, you do not minister in the spirit, meaning that everything you do, even including your songs, if I know that this song I'm singing will not glorify God, and I choose to sing it, I have defied the order of God, what God has said concerning me ministering your songs. Because scripture teaches us that anytime we minister, we have to minister first unto God. So if I do anything contrary in that area, I have missed the mark. Also, Bible teaches us also about playing skillfully as God's own ministers. If I don't work in that area, also I've missed the mark too, because I'm showing God as somebody who is not skillful. When we see all what God has done, the creation, everything, and then you that you claim you are his minister cannot do his work skillfully, then you have missed his mark also.
Okay, what about I still want to talk about the instrumentation. What about when, as instrumentalist, there's this particular popular instrumentation that is everywhere, and is from the world. Do you get? I remember I was in a place, and the instrumentalists were playing, and they played dan 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 dan. You get that cowbell, our milk. There are other things that they play that I don't even want to begin to mention here.
That's another issue to consider. A minister of God knows that whatever God accepts, the world accepts, is not acceptable before God. It doesn't mean that God himself is not creative, that he can't begin to give us things that we will do also as musicians, that even people in the world will be surprised and will be like, who did this? But when we begin to think that God is not creative, so we have to copy what the worldly people are doing, then it shows that we have also missed God's mark, because the Bible teaches us also that worldliness is enmity to God. So if I choose to do what somebody who openly claims is not singing for God, is doing, then I'm missing the man also.
Thank you. God bless you, Brother Joshua.
I think missing the mark concerning what is sacred. You know, you can do Indomie. Indomie, if you are in the function of children and all that, you can do cowgirl, ala milk. If you are in an organization where it's children, something, that one is allowed because it's in that environment. But when you're not coming to church, you don't know what is sacred, you just begin to display skills instead of pleasing God. So many times we use the mark, because what I'm also remembered of even in this teaching is that the standard had been in the way that there's a standard already, and the standard are calling standards that we all see everywhere. So we need to keep asking God, what is the standard concerning even everything that we do? I think for ministers, music ministers, we miss the mark in the aspect whereby we sing to minister to men instead of living a life that ministers to God. So that aspect is very, very rampant for every musician or every music minister. They focus on ministering to men than living a life that ministers to God. And not knowing that we cannot minister to men, it's only God that can minister to men, our focus is to minister to God. We also miss the mark in the aspect whereby, where you see in, maybe like the word of God coming to us. And we miss the mark in just believing that we have heard the word, and we just sit down and not going deeper and spending time with God until the word becomes alive in us. So we miss the mark just because we are in the age where we just hear. Just by hearing, we are satisfied that I've heard it, you know, but that I'm not doing it. So we miss the mark in all those areas.
Thank you. God bless you. Okay, Elijah. After Elijah, I'll move on. Then we have the next class activities from there. Yes.
Amen. Another place I'm looking at is in the area of work.
Okay.
And if in the area of my work, I'm a perpetual or somebody that disappoints people every time. They can, when they have to always ring it in my ear about their deadlines and all of that, maybe because of previous disappointment.
Especially when you have given your word.
Yes. Then I think in that point, I'm missing the mark.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. I'll go forward, then we'll continue our discussion from there. Okay. When I do this, then we'll continue from Bakayode. Sin is trespassing, that is trespassing. That's the fourth one. When we trespass, I'm sure we've all heard the word trespass before. And this is the intrusion of self-will into the fear of divine authority. And that is trespasser. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. Please, can we read that part, that scripture? Ephesians. Yeah. Please, can you use the mic?
Ephesians 2, 1 to 3. And you are the equal things who were dead in trespasses and sin, when in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversations in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others.
Thank you. Obeying our own impulses, obeying the flesh or the will, or obeying our own flesh. When we obey, when we give in, when we do things according to the instruction, the impulses, the drive and the feeling that comes from the flesh of our five senses, or doing things according to our five senses, is trespassing. Now, you don't trespass until you begin to do things according to the flesh. And when you begin to do things according to the flesh, you are trespassing. When you begin to do things according to how you feel, what are you doing? You are trespassing. When how you feel and what you feel is stronger and overcomes you and makes you to do decision, or when what you feel and how you feel is the drive or is the engine that makes you to do what you do, when you make decision based on the flesh, based on what you feel, what your five senses tells you, then you are trespassing. Because the flesh, what does it do? It is always fighting against the spirit. The flesh stands to make sure that the things that the Holy Spirit wants will not be done. So when we give in and we submit to the flesh, we are disobeying God. We are making, instead of allowing the kingdom and the will of God to be done, what the devil wants is what we allow. And by the time we do that, we'll open door for every other thing that comes from him, especially in that matter. And that is why we don't overcome. Examples of how we trespass according to our self-will. Please, let us go. Examples of how we do that. I'm sure you all know what we mean by trespassing, and that is why I actually give that little explanation. Do you understand? Do you all understand? I am only getting a nod for one person. Do we all understand that?
So,
Aldayo. Okay.
We trespass through the way we talk as a believer.
By the way we talk, yes.
In times of trying to let people believe what we say, saying, God is with me. I mean, God can hear me. Or putting our standard in our tongues, trying to let people believe. Most believers also does that, which is
by
wrong.
Swearing and all of that. Exactly.
The way we swear, the way we try to let them know.
Okay, you are going to say something the other time. Have you said that? Okay, yes. Trespassing. It's very, very... Everybody does it. Eh? Yes, bro. Sorry, sir. What's your name? Okay. Brother Shelby.
Most of the times, we are required to fast. But because of your belly, it's telling you that you need to give it something. And because of that, what God has told you to do, you do not do it. You break the fast. That means it is your emotion that drove you. Then most of the times, when we are talking about relationship, there are some people that they are supposed to hear the word of God. They are supposed to know the will of God concerning their marriage or the relationship. But because of the emotion, most of them, they will be saying, I have feelings for you. I have feelings for you. But they cannot wait till the time of God. That God will tell them that, do this, and you not do it. Praise the Lord.
Okay. Said that when sometimes we are led by the Spirit of God to fast, and in the morning, when we are supposed to start the bar by 5 a.m., we are already feeling hungry and very strong one, or not because you didn't eat in the night. And somehow you are beginning to tell yourself that you know that sometimes ago you treated the malaria and maybe you have not fully recovered. You know you have to be very careful. You that normally sometimes when before then, maybe 2 days or a day before then, sometimes you don't even eat until maybe one. You don't feel like, you know, but it is that day that the Spirit of God has led you to fast. That is when you now begin to feel hungry. From 5 a.m. And sometimes when you just hear, perceive the, some of us that can be moved by is those things, you know, perceive the soup of somebody around the neighborhood. And you're like, wow. And somehow you begin to feel, and you begin to listen to the feelings. I say, Utoma, you know, I remember sometimes, you know, pastor even preach, and say that your health and all of that, and you give them, knowing well that it is not true. He said also that feelings, when it comes to relationship, I have feelings for you. So many of us go into relationship by feelings, by spark. And that's what we call it. I don't have a spark for him, I have a spark for this one. And that informs our decision. That one, they are decisions make that you make from your senses, from one of your senses. Yes, thank you. God bless you, Brother Shebun. Brother Joshua, I want to say something. These things are plenty. I can begin to mention them. Sometimes when somebody... Let me begin to say it. Practical ways that you have trespassed. This time, I will not then wait. I will allow everybody to talk. We have time. Yes.
We trespass when it comes to maybe money, maybe by doing something. Something has more profits, and another doesn't have much profits. So because of profits, because of convenience, because of, you know, all these things that will please our flesh, we tend to do the ones that are more yielding. Maybe the Holy Spirit, even in my business, the Holy Spirit wants me to do a job. There is no profit in that job. Another one is staring at me and is like not knowing that in the end, by the time I put my head in the one that has a couple of thousands that are far, far higher than the one I'm trying to do, and in the end I'll find out that there's a lot of regrets that will have even stayed with, you know, the one that doesn't have much profit. I think also we trespass in the aspect of waking up in the morning, spending time with God. That one is even very regular. You just see the sleep, like especially in these rainy days that it's very cold. You just come on your bed to study the Bible, to, you know, after the Lord, God has shown us much love and much light, we are supposed to continue to increase the freshness for that day. Somehow we just choose to stay in the bed, and before you know the distractions of the day,
choose to obey the flesh, pay heed to the feelings that were
brought. It also comes to the aspect of maybe somebody said something to you, somebody small. So you get what I'm saying? See, just like you are the person very small, you are papa, you can give back to that person. So all those things get to us before you know it, you start responding in a way that is, and so our ego, maybe my wife, she did something, and easily letting it go is the flesh that is shouting for response. So easily letting it go, we don't want to let it go, we just want to give by a piece of my mind so that, you know, I would satisfy my flesh. So many ways that's happened to me.
Thank you. Why I want us to give examples so that we will bring it close to us when we allow the flesh to dictate what to do. Don't forget I said something. When in our first when we talk about, don't forget that we said generally sin is what? The first definition, sin is what? Lawlessness. And I was saying that from that place, from my explanation there, I said that when we are not regulated by the word of God. So when our fueling, our engine, the power that makes us to do things like an engine is not coming from God, it comes from other sources. And one of the sources is the flesh. So when our activities and what we do is being fueled or sponsored by other sources, that is trespassing. Yes, Sister Moji?
Like sometimes when you're registering with someone and then you start sensing that you're talking too much. And then you just feel like, let me just finish this one. And then you start saying things you are not supposed to say. That's one. Then another one is, you're talking with someone, and then you have this feeling like to show yourself a bit that, like the things that you have, things you've achieved. Sometimes
even me,
the things you've achieved.
Okay, no problem.
There are times you want to just bring it into the conversation, even when it is not even needed. And then the third one. Okay, then sorry for the first one. There's one I remember that they do in my former church. Like they are singing praise and worship, and then suddenly they just start, what are you doing? I am clapping. I see that as.
Thank you. Very, very, very strong one. Sometimes when you are making, we are discussing with people, someone, and you, the Holy Spirit begins to tell you that this thing that you are saying or this discussion has to end, and you want to continue. And by the time you begin to continue, because it's your friend or she is your friend, you want to stay around more. Eh? And you begin to say things that you are not supposed to say. From there, you begin to bring in matters that somebody actually came to tell you, to confide in you, and so do you not say when you don't have any other good thing to say? And from there, you begin to discuss things that, you know, you have, you begin to show things, I was able to do this and show flesh and all of that, things that you have been able to achieve by your own self. Yes, ma'am.
I was going to talk about two things. The second one was an achievement. But the first one, now I'm beginning to understand that is the dictate of the five senses. That's what I'm going to say it. Because I've actually been held in that trap. You know, sometimes you are led to give somebody something that will edify that soul. Like maybe a book that will edify that person. But you are held back by your own senses thinking, if I give this person now, person will think, okay, this is it particularly. This is a book for an elderly person, an elderly man, very old, but very rich. But the book will help, because it's actually in his later age, very old, over 70, will help to like change the perspective and help to change the life of that person. Knowing very, very well, getting to the closer part of his age. But I've been held back saying now that, no, the person will think, probably I want favor because he's rich, because like that. So I've actually been disturbed over time to help her, but each time it comes to me, I'm always holding back. But now when I got the definition of that it could be according to five senses. So my sense is that he will feel this way, he will feel this way. So now I'm getting it clearer now that, okay, since I'm having that urge to give that person that book, because I'm so much convinced that book will help. You know, I'm really convinced, but this is what I've been fighting through, so I'm getting it clear.
Thank you. That's a very good one. Sometimes when we want, the Lord is asking us to do something to some people. Apart from, like she said, some of us, if I tell her this thing now, if I begin to do this to him, he will begin to feel important. I don't know if you have felt that way before. And it's the Holy Spirit that is asking you to do that thing. But you are beginning, your own flesh is telling you that, if I begin to do that now, she will begin to feel important. Holy Spirit, please let us keep this one. We might not say that, but that's what it means. Thank you, ma'am. God bless you. Yes.
The area coming to me is in the time of covetousness.
Yes.
And it has happened to me several times. Two areas. I want to divide it into two. When it comes to food, especially when I go to party.
I was expecting that from people. Yes, food.
When you get to party and there is no restraint from when there is excess. And even when there is excess, there is no restraint that stop, don't take more. And when there is little, the desire to get less more, go. More than at least I must satisfy my, and the desire to hoard souvenirs, maybe because I like them, they are looking very nice, and I don't even want to care if maybe one is. I'm entitled to one, but because they are good, I just want to take one or two more so that I can feel good.
Yes, even when, thank you very much, that's a strong one. Sometimes when the souvenirs are not enough, and you are saying that, how will they know that I come now? Eh? I must take something from this party. It happens to so many of us. You want to just take something, even if it is a jota, to show that me too, I was in that party. Or sometimes, maybe you bought a shwebi, and they are distributing a particular set of souvenirs for those that, you know, bought, you know, and it's not enough, and you begin to say, I must have my own. Sometimes when it is food,
Food is not enough. Of course you are hungry, but it's not enough. But you want to find all, get all, make sure that you eat by all means. So you begin to change seats where they are going to start for, so that, you know, that is part of it. Yes, somebody was raising his hand. Who? Okay, give it to Brother Oye. I know you are not raising your hand, but I know you want to say something.
For me, maybe I want to talk in the area of my work. So when I work, and maybe the work is nice, and the work is nice, and people are like, okay, this is lovely, and I seem to want to take the glory first. I was there before acknowledging how it is God that did it.
You want to physically feel good and take the glory before acknowledging, if you will ever eventually acknowledge that it is God. Thank you. All right. Thank you. That's a strong one. When you work at that's at when you work and the thing is done well and the Holy Spirit help you to do it so well and so beautiful, and what you just want to do is to begin to show people that this, can you see what I have done? Or people have seen it and say, ah, no, you are good, and they say, ah, sincerely. Even sometimes when we say, ah, when sometimes we can even say that, ah, the Lord is really helping me. But deep, deep within, you know what you are trying to do. Do you understand?
I'm wondering, if I do something and it's like, probably I've been trying over time and eventually I get it, okay? Is it wrong if I say, okay, I'm getting it, I've gotten it, and I want to show somebody, see, I've been trying and I got it, and look, I got it. Acknowledge what I've done. Is it wrong?
Well, it is not wrong, but there is this other way to it. Elijah, I want to say something before I say it. Most of the time, for me, the flesh will not want to acknowledge the wrong that has happened in the past. The flesh will not testify to the fact that I've failed before. Most time it's that progress that we achieve at that moment that the flesh quickly wants to show up. You want to say something?
Okay, what I want to say is, I think I was talking to someone yesterday, I've forgotten who it is. When we try to do something and we have not been getting it, and we are asking God, please help me, or I have been trying, I have not been getting it. And when we get it, we forget the times we are asking Him because we have gotten it. Now, taking the glory to ourselves and admitting that it may mushy, but forgetting the times when we have been trying our hands on it and looking for, okay, surely my feet, surely my shiny. But later now we have gotten it and it looks as if, I've been putting my strength, I've been working with my mind to do this thing, but I've gotten it. Forgetting that we have once asked the Holy Spirit, please help me now. I've been, that is what I want to say to that.
Brother Joshua first, please. I'll call it. You will come back to him. All of us are speaking. There are people that worked with our.
I know many times when sometimes I have not struggled, and what I produce, even a graphic designer should not say this thing. This is what producer did. Sometimes I might do a design like 3-4 times, and it's just rubbish. So the minute I now get it and it's very, very nice, I'll be happy with myself. But in that happiness, instead of remembering that, see, the Holy Spirit revealed something to you and dropped something, instead of saying, Holy Spirit, you help me. This thing is not coming from me. So that in another time, I will be able to know that it's not from me, it's from the Holy Spirit. So immediately I acknowledge that I'm the one, it always makes me to forget that, see, it is the Holy Spirit that has always been supplying. So in that pride, not telling people about what I've done. So I'll just tell them and not acknowledge God. So in recent time, God has helped me to change that, to always depend on letting people know that it's God.
Okay, lastly, Brother and Moji.
Okay, now say. I actually want to say something to what Mommy Obili has said. Okay. When she was asking that it's wrong to do something and you want to show people. The thing is that if we had not confessed that Jesus is our Lord and personal Savior, it is all right for us to do something by our strength and show people and not acknowledge God. If we had not said that God
you are come and help me, I trust you and the rest of it. It's just like people of the world. It's all right when we do something, it's not, we don't acknowledge God and we say it's our strength. But because we are Christians, we have an obligation to return all the glory to God. And not just in our own strength, whenever we do something that seems to be excellent. That's just what I want to say concerning that.
Last emoji.
I'll say sometimes the way we say it, the way we say it and our motive for saying it, you might be saying it at the wrong time and the wrong way. And that way, we might even include God in the way we say it like a testimony, but then we know that deep down that we want the praise from this person. Our motive for it really counts. And sometimes it's not even about our handwork. Sometimes it might be something you've been praying to God for, like, I want to talk to this person. And then you finally talk to the person, and then you are talking with another person and saying, I see the wisdom that I used for this thing. And God really helped me. But the way you are saying it might be a way to show that I'm now very wise. And you leave God out of it, even though you mention his name.
So, thank you. God bless you. Should a Christian do anything without the Holy Spirit? Because we need to get to the origin of it. The reason why it's possible for us to show something to somebody and say, oh, wow, look at what I've been trying, I've been able to do it, is because in the first place, in trying to do it, we did not acknowledge the Holy Spirit. So should a Christian do anything without the Holy Spirit? Please answer me, yes or no?
Praise the Lord. The Bible made us to understand that the number of those people that are led by the Spirit are sons and daughters of God. So, in other words, you are not a Christian if you are not led by the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord.
Thank you. Walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The flesh has its own ability and strength too. So when we do things by the flesh, we acknowledge the ability and the strength of the flesh. Okay, should a Christian do anything not unto the glory of God? That's the second question. Answer me, class. Does that solve the question? Thank you. So, as Christians, where things go wrong is when in the beginning we did not see ourselves as people, or we do not walk in the Spirit in all things. There are things, see, even in training our children, in correcting them, in, you know, before you begin to go all the way to do that thing or do that punishment to that child, of course, it's good to correct that and it's good to use the rod. You know, after doing some of the things that you feel you should, have you asked the Holy Spirit, why are you doing it, sir, in the first place? I don't know if you get what I mean. Should a Christian in all things, in designing, in sewing, in teaching, in working on the site, you know, should we do in negotiation, in getting a job? Rajija was saying something. There are some jobs that is going to look, it looks profitable, and necessarily, eventually you are going to get a lot of money from it. But at the end of that job, you would have been far away from God. I don't know if you get what I mean. Should a Christian step into anything, do anything without the Holy Spirit? So that is what we mean by the intrusion of the self-will into the sphere of divine authority. So when we begin to do things without the Holy Spirit, we are out of his kingdom. We are not going to fulfill his kingdom. We are not going to fulfill his will. His kingdom will not come and his will not be done. Rather, it is the kingdom of the flesh, the devil, that will eventually be praised and it will be done. So, it's either we are saved from sin and we are agents of righteousness, an agent of bringing down his kingdom and his will, or we are not saved and we are agents of the other side. Okay. Let's conclude. The fifth one, as I conclude, sin is lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. That is a state where a person wants to be or actually reads himself of divine control. A state where a man rids himself of divine control and authority. A state where a person rids himself of divine control. Let me put it that way. A state where a person, a man, rids himself of divine control and authority. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9 to 10. When you do not allow yourself to be controlled by the Holy Spirit, I was going to ask question on what about intuition of the flesh when you are ministering as ministers? Especially when in the beginning, you will be praying that the Holy Spirit helps you and the Holy Spirit, you know, begin with you. And begin, by the time you begin to begin to see, wow, how the thing is really, really, you know, going and it's looking really, really nice and acceptable, and people are, then the flesh coming. You come in and say, you see, the Lord is really helping you now. We have had this one too. I remember some times ago, I was called to minister in a church that I used to be before. And by the time I got to the state, that was me that was begging the Holy Spirit, please, sincerely, I need you, need you. Really, I got to the state and people now started clapping, you know. And up the flesh, people were now clapping. I've not even done anything, you know. And the flesh now just came in and said, see, you can see that they are really clapping for you now. Ah. And if you know me, I am not a stage person, as in I don't like being in the front. As in, I was just, people, as in, the flesh can actually just come in subtly. I know that the Holy Spirit was leading me to do something, and as they are clapping, the flesh just came and said, ah, these people are ready, because they know that you have come now, because they know anytime you come, that kind of thing. Sometimes when you are ministering and you want to, the Holy Spirit is leading you towards a direction. And because you have seen the success to a level of what the Lord is doing, the flesh wants to quickly hijack. He whispers to you and tell you to introduce something that the Lord is not saying or that the Lord is not doing. Or even, you know, when the Holy Spirit is telling you, okay, we are done now, and you are feeling like there's still more to say, and there's still more to do. There's still more to say. Ah, you know, by the time for some minister, it's just, you know, this popular song is coming to me now, and in your mind, I say, ah, let us introduce this. You know, there's a way that when we put this one like this, they will begin to feel, you know, they will accept it, everybody will begin to shout and all of that. And by introducing that, you have started everything that the Holy Spirit is trying to do. Amen. We cannot finish. Why I really want us, and I thank God for your life, want us to do all that we did discussing, is because we cannot even exhaust it. But it is important that when we do not allow our actions, our decisions to be fueled by the Holy Spirit in all things, when we do not allow the will of God, the word of God, to be the reason why we are doing something, like an engine, for those of us that were not here, that is being plugged into the and is being powered by electricity. When the light is put off, it is expected of that engine to stop, isn't it? And when it's on, it is expected of that engine to start working. Now, when we are not like that with God, when we are not like that with His Word, when we are not like that with the Holy Spirit, like the Bible says, walk in the Spirit and will not fulfill the lust of the flesh, you will begin, there are other sources and power, sources of power that are always there to fuel your actions, that will be acceptable in the other kingdom. And they are always very close and nearby in all things. May the Lord help us in Jesus' name. I hope you have gotten that sin is lawlessness or spiritual anarchy. I didn't put that one. A state where a person wants to be or utterly rid himself of divine control and authority. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9 to 13. Let's read that.
For the law was not intended for people who do what is right. It is for people who are lawless and rebellious, who are ungodly and sinful, who consider nothing sacred and defy what is holy, who kill their father, mother, or commit other murders. The law is for people who are sexually immoral or who practice homosexuality or are slave traders, liars, promise breakers, or who do anything else that contradicts the wholesome teaching that comes from the glorious good news entrusted to me by her blessed God. Amen.
Thank you. God bless you. So as Christians, we have to allow the Holy Spirit to be our control. When people offend us, when people do what is right and what is good to us, you know, sometimes when people do things that are good to us, as in they are always there for us, they are, you know, they are like God, you know, they really give us a lot of things. And when it is time for you to tell them things that the Lord will have you tell them, you will begin to feel that something is making you to stop the source of blessing or the source of supply that is coming from that person. Probably could even be your boss. And what that person does not want you to say something to that person, or the person is asking you to do something, and it's something that when you do it, you will not be able, you know, to do some things that the Lord is asking you to do. And instead of you to stand and say, "Sir, I'm sorry, I have not refused you before, but please, sir, please permit me, I will not be able to do this." You say, "Okay, I'll just find a way around it." Or the person is telling you that, "See, when this person comes, just tell the person this." You know, I'm talking about in a business, you know, setting. And you say, "Okay, don't just worry, I'll just find a way around it when the person comes." When somebody gets you hungry, and the flesh definitely is the one that wants to quickly respond. No, don't allow the flesh to foil your responses. Don't allow the flesh to foil your decisions. Don't allow the flesh to foil your words. Do you understand? Allow the Holy Spirit, even in the midst of it all, to say, to foil, to con out your word, to be the one to decide your response, not your feelings. A lot of what we are quick to respond or act by our feelings, we need to let the Holy Spirit be in charge now. Amen. Is there any question? Yes. Please let me give it to Brother Shego.
Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Hallelujah. My question is on the lead by the Holy Spirit. Number one, I want to ask, is it every time the Holy Spirit speaks? Then number two, at times in our area of work, like me, I'm a technician. There are sometimes when maybe you are short of work and you are praying to God, "God, please, I need work. Let customers come." And when God will answer your prayer, one customer come. And right within you, something is telling you, "Don't take that job." Are you not heard at duress? What will you do?
That's the second question.
That's the second question.
Alright. Okay. First question. You see every time that the Holy Spirit speaks? Brother,
it's not every time that the Holy Spirit speaks.
Okay. Sorry.
The Holy Spirit speaks concerning every matter, but it's not every time the Holy Spirit speaks.
there will be times when you will wait to see what we will do. And at that time, we need to really pray concerning our motive. That even though we are not taking it, we are not hearing anything, we should be very, very sensitive to make sure that we tell him that this is my motive concerning this matter. This is how I feel. This is what my feelings are. Help me, guide me, and all that. Those are the things that I personally normally do in case when I'm not heading clearly. And if I have any step I want to take, if it's something that will require that I take a step immediately, I pray and I tell him that concerning what I want to do, please, give me the right option. Give me the right something. If it's going to be, it might not be like lead me by an answer will just come or something will just happen. But I must make sure that my motive must be surrendered. It's not that one that I'm trying to, maybe I'm desperate. If I have the motive that maybe my strongest desire is that I want money to clear up a bill, that is my own strongest desire. Then I will tell him that in case I don't even, if you are not desiring that I clear this bill with this money, Lord, show me what to do. And make sure that I surrender that will. That's what I normally do. So it's not all the time the Holy Spirit speaks. But he can speak. He speaks concerning every matter. He might later now respond in a way and, you know, show you what to do.
Okay. Please give it to Ruth. She wants to give it to somebody before I respond. Yes, Samaji.
I feel the Holy Spirit speaks all the time if we are receptive to him. Jesus said, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. That's, Jesus did not do anything without being led by the Spirit. Jesus was someone that was constantly in tune with the Spirit, so he was able to hear about everything and at all times. He knew when to wait. He knew when to act. He knew when to press on. He knew what to do at every time because he knew that he couldn't do anything of himself.
Okay. Now, one of the things we need to know is that we have the Word of God and we have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit speaks to us in different ways. And as Christians, when the Bible says that walk in the Spirit, it means and you will not fulfill the works of the flesh. What it means is to live or to walk or to make our decisions or live our life as we receive from the Lord. Now, sometimes we believe that some feels that when the Holy Spirit it has to always be like an audible voice or like some ways that we are used to. Are you with me? We believe that it has to be by audible voice or by some ways that we are used to. Meanwhile, he has spoken, and yet we are still waiting for him to speak. Why? Because the desire and the desire of the flesh is very strong, and somehow we don't want to let go. Are we with me? So, yes, there is the God's way for everything. Now, the Holy Spirit, of course, communicates with us on every matter. Now, when you now say, is there every time that the Holy Spirit speaks? Now, if you be saved with that word, it will be better to not to think that it will always speak to you if you are a person that hear by audible voice. Not to always think that it's by audible voice. Please, are you with me? Now, when we walk in communion with God, it is not going to be difficult for you to receive from God on every matter. Please, are you with me? Just like a child. When a child, that there's a level that a child gets to that wherever the father speaks, he recognizes the voice of his father. But there are times where almost all the words or voices, sounds of male that comes around, sounds the same. But when he gets to a level, he knows that this is the voice of my father. This is my father. There are some children, of course, they know that, but they call every male they see, they call, especially the blue one, they call him daddy, daddy. Do you get? The Holy Spirit speaks, he has word, he has things to tell you, he has his pattern, his decision, and his standard on every matter. And he wants to tell you everything on all matters, as Jesus was able to receive from his Father on all matters. Now, it's either you receive those words from him by the word of God, for example, if we are passing by and you saw some people that are fighting and you just want to pass by and you are thinking as you are going, but the Lord tells you the Lord told you that blessed are the peacemaker. That kind of word comes and you no, it's okay, stop it. Now it might not even be that the Lord told you in your own way of the Lord told you, but that word came to you at that time. That's the Holy Spirit. Do you understand? Now there are some decisions that you want to make. Just like if you wait and allow the Holy Spirit to influence your decisions by looking away, first of all, recognizing that is what he was trying to say. You must recognize your own weaknesses and what you are trying to, your motive, what you want to do. For example, like that job that you've not been working and you see that you need some money and you are praying for a job and a job came. And the motive is that maybe I get this and it's just go and sort out that bill. And somehow there's something, there's a restriction. But because the desire to make that job, to get the money, the profit from the job is so strong, because you want to sort out or settle a bill, you will not pay attention to that restriction. And it is after when the whole thing has been done, that is, and before I collect that gem, before I receive that job, something was telling me, like you will always say, I was having a feeling that this thing is wrong. So if it is that the Lord wants to tell you things on every matter, like his child, he wants you to depend totally on him and make decisions by his spirit and by his word. Based on his word or by his will. Do you understand, sir? Abraham, sir, do you want to... Alright, the second one is that you want to get a job. You've not been working and you are praying, and as you got the job came, and you are having a restriction that you shouldn't get the job, right?
Praise the Lord. You pray to God, God, as I'm setting out, I want to see your favor. I want customers to come and all that. Now, when it now comes to, maybe you have shop, you have to settle deal. Now, all those things, when the customer now comes, will you say, you have not prayed to God, or will you still be asking God? Because in your prayer, you have said it to God that, God, please, don't let any temptation or a work that will bring up difficulties for me to come. Will you still be asking Holy Spirit that, Holy Spirit, should I take this job?
Or not? Please, thank you very much. Let me give it to Abraham.
Brother Shegun, are you a minister? This is a meeting for ministers. Are you a minister?
Or are you a worker?
A worker. So they've taught you about the Holy Spirit. You're a worker. What department are you working in? You're a chorister. Okay. So that means you should have some measure of understanding. Your question is logical. And what you need to ask are spiritual questions. You are saying that you have a shop, you need something, come, then you are saying that, should you be saying that? Should you sell to the person or not? It sounds somehow. Do you understand? It's somehow. It's not I kept quiet because I wanted to see whether there's anything, and there's nothing in it. Any little child knows that when the customer comes, what do? When the customer comes to your shop, what do? You sell. Simple. Do you understand? So that we let things, if there's what is left that you are not saying, if there's something that you need help with, say it. You understand? Not this kind of questions. It's not helping anybody. And it won't help you. Huh? So if there's something you are trying to say, maybe there's a better way you want to say it. Or maybe the line of job that you are even doing, God is saying that don't even do that job. Huh? But you are still a sinner that's what you want to do because it's quick and it brings you money. Then talk about yourself, we can deal with that. Okay? But to tell me that you open the shop, the customer comes in, Holy Spirit should I sell, it is silly. You understand? Because even normal common sense knows that people open shops for business, is it not so? Whether you are offering a service or you are trading in goods and services, or whatever it is. Okay? We can't answer this question because it's not a clear question. You understand? If you just raise dust and we talk unnecessarily and it will dissipate what the Holy Spirit is trying to do. If there are issues, this work that I'm doing, I'm not really sure that's what I should be doing. You know, I feel I should be doing something else, but I'm not sure. And every time I want to sell, I'm having issues. We can deal with that. Okay? Thank you.
Talking about the flesh, I'm asking this because I don't want to undermine the flesh. During ministration, I have been under someone's ministration, and as the person was ministering, and the person was using so much Bible verses, so much, and along the line, one way or the other, I found myself in that person's shoes, sometimes back. Okay, I discovered that, this was me. Okay, that I used to do that very well. Okay, and my question now is, one, what could have made me think like that? That is one. Then secondly, can flesh make you quote Bible verses? Because I've discovered that after so much quoting and quoting of Bible verses, what comes up upon you at the end of the day is like you have there's an impression you want to create, or you want people to understand better. So I want to know, can flesh make you keep quoting Bible verses during ministration?
Yes. The flesh can make you quote scriptures, Bible verses, in order to make what you are saying look spiritual and acceptable. So that it can be acceptable and as the will of God. Please, do you understand? There are times when it is because we do for scripture because of our own, to achieve the motive, to make our own motive prevail, to make what we want to achieve to prevail. And it happens even without being on the pulpit. Sometimes you just want to do something and you just feel like you just find scripture to make sure that this your idea is being accepted, or you allow so that this by the brethren and all of that. So you begin to do for scripture and you know that when they hear scripture, they begin to pipe low. And the other person that may be saying the right thing may not have more than one scripture, and you have just looked for one close to about five scripture to quote to make sure that you buttress your point. And most of the time, those scriptures are out of context. Like the man that was saying, and this is myself, I'm Raven, we listen to a man that was saying that it is God's will that a man marry more than a wife. And he was able to get several scriptures and begin to look at those scriptures, he's been quoted wrongly. The devil also was able to quote scriptures when he was tempting Jesus. So it's possible. Yes.
Praise God. Yesterday, one of the lessons we learned is, first of all, the flesh is a life-traveling companion. So because we are Christians, does not mean that we do not still carry the flesh. And there's a particular word that was said yesterday that when we fertilize our flesh, the flesh itself, it will bring scriptures that suit what he's saying, and mistakes becomes doctrine. Now, when we are not being controlled part time by the Holy Spirit, the flesh also will look for something to suit what it's saying. Don't let us forget that the flesh is a chameleon. It's a chameleon. It will make itself look as if this is what I'm. If you get what I'm saying, like it will. Oh my, Sware did your real thing. It wants to join itself with the real thing, whereas it is not. So it will always look for what looks like what it's saying to give approval to what it's saying.
Please give it to us. We close. I don't know if you remember that lady with the spirit of divination during the time of and you know that what that lady was saying sounds spiritual. Yes.
Sorry to take you back on the issue of the flesh that was being discussed previously. When I believe that I am created in the image of God, and so I am trying, working on a project, and I succeed, and I say, yes, I'm a genius. Am I praising, giving glory to the flesh? And I say it with the motive that I am created in the image of God, so I am like God. And so I function as Christ controls me. I don't know how to present it. Like, I'm created in the image of God, I'm a genius, I am God's image. And so if I'm able to do something and I yell, I am a genius, am I praising the flesh? Or
let me give it to Abraham. I get you. Abraham will answer that. Okay, you want to say something? Very short, sir. Very short.
There's a school of thought that says when you confess, what you confess, just confess. Just say, you know, I'm going forward, I'm going forward, I'm going forward, I'm going forward. Now you see all those things to jack up, you know, the self, and you know, say this, but it's different from when you ask the Holy Spirit, inspire me, show me the way forward. That's different from when you confess and just say you confess, I'm rich, you know, and you see all those confessions. Now, if that confession is coming based on the light of the Word of God, that the Bible says, maybe concerning your health, said those who are weak, you say they are strong. I am strong in Jesus' name. But not the one that, you know, all this confession, you know, all this stuff, like there's a school of thought that you are a lot of that stuff, a lot. All these motivational speakers.
Yes, I'm a genius.
Brother Kolari wants to ask you. I want to add to that question.
Okay.
Positive thinking, motivation, is it of the flesh?
100%. Positive thinking, positive confession, motivational speaking, motivational hearing is 100% of the flesh. Do you know why? Yeah, I know that this will stir up a lot of dust. There's nothing a person needs that's not already in the Word of God. Let he that boast in who? You are the light of the world. It has swallowed up being a genius. If I'm the light of the world, I'm expected to do what? More than a genius, because I'm just like God who made me. But let he that boast in who? In the Lord. Was Jesus more than a genius? Did he confess was a genius? You see, most of the time, the problem that we have is that when people are not contented with the things that Jesus taught, they begin to look for content for their sermon. And in looking for content, they begin to visit Zig Ziglar and all manner of people that would deify man but humanize God. Do you understand? So you know, you are able to do this, you are more than that. Just tell yourself this. The Bible is enough. The Bible is what? And if you study the Word of God properly, the first thing you will have or you will get is self-identity. No, sorry, that's the second thing. The first thing you'll get is you'll know your maker. And by knowing your maker, you can understand and know yourself. And the moment you know God and you know yourself, the first thing that happens to you is you are not interested in competing with anybody. Because you just suddenly find out that there's nobody like you. I'm not saying you are God. Don't get me wrong. I'm saying that you are uniquely and wonderfully made. So there's no basis for comparison. Okay? Even work that you are doing and the Holy Spirit is inspiring you and all of that, it's a form of worship. Because Jesus said, let men see your good works and they will glorify your Father. Can you see that now? When people see what you do, worship is given to God. Glory is given to God. But when people see our good work, what do we want them to glorify? Ourselves. We want to feel good that I'm a genius. The moment I say I'm a genius, what am I saying? Well, amongst all of us, I'm better than all of them. It's not true. See, I'm not better than anybody here. And you're not better than me. We're just different. You know, so when you begin to understand who you are in God, okay, you are not ready to compete. It is the flesh that competes. Instead, you are more interested in complementing instead of competition. You understand? Because I know that Babson, that we know in part and we prophesy in part. Okay, so what that means is that everything is not in one person. Whatever I have, God gave him his own thing, is himself, but what he has will complement what I have. Instead of compete. In the kingdom, we complement. We don't compete. In the world, they compete. And a genius is a statement of competition. You understand? And like, you know, Joshua picked it. Where it's coming from is those Greek churches that carry principle everywhere. You know, they tell yourself, I'm moving forward. I don't need to tell myself I'm moving forward. If the word of God says I'm moving forward, what happens? And it says to the path of the just as a shining light. It shines brighter and brighter to the path. I'd rather say that than say I'm moving forward. Men have learned those things because the devil, I'm moving forward that you are possibly confessing, does not affect the devil. Nothing moves him but the word of God. What's the only thing that moves him? So those things puff you up. Then evil spirits that deal with knowledge and wisdom, they will beg the other evil spirit dealing with you to give them some room so that they can be dealt with very well. Before you know, you're puffed up. So much ideas, but that are nothing. Ideas that have no power to transform or change life. So if somebody speaking so much big words, people are clapping, their lives are not changing. You understand? The same thing, though, I'm moving forward. Same word, the path of the just, he says, is it not the same thing? But it doesn't carry the same power. For God did not say one. God said, let there be light. What happens? He said, I'm the light of the world. So what will I say? But you know, I'm the light of the world and the world, I'm a star. Is the same? But who said one? God. The other one called human beings trying to sound like they are something. So I'd rather say I'm the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill that cannot be hidden. Then what happens with all the prayer points about Gogomole? If you quote that scripture, nothing can Gogomole. You understand? So that's how Joshua said that it's coming from that school of thought where they do not hold strongly to the word of God. What they hold on to are all these motivational speaking and positive confession, and it's 100% of the flesh. They sound as if they are wise, but they have no power to transform anything.
This is the mic she wants to.
When they asked someone like Joseph to solve a problem, he said, it's not in me. You could see that he was able to know where his source is coming from. So that's just the school of thought. They don't recognize the Holy Spirit. They jack up whatever they believe.
The ability of the flesh. The ability of itself. Yeah, thank you. Why she's going to... Is it in the same line?
No, I want to ask a question.
Okay, before you say what you want to say, so that I will not forget. We need to understand that from what Abraham said, the word create words to clone the words of God so that our languages will change and the impacts that the word of God that we should be speaking and saying will not be achieved. So be careful of, because those words are said and made to create their own world and kind of shift aside God's kingdom. Thank you. Yes.
Okay, hallelujah. What happens when the world or your, as in people, remind you of your sin, of your guilt? For example, you as a minister, you are ministering to people about repentance, and
maybe your friends come in that you have done some worthy things together with, and they're trying to accuse you that, what is this one saying? Is it not this one that we did two things together? And at that point, you're feeling bad. You're feeling guilty and ashamed of yourself. Is it that you have not really yielded to? I don't understand.
I get you. She said that if you are a minister and somebody comes up, like as I'm ministering now, there were things that I have done in the past that were that is when I was not in Christ. And one of those of my friends that we did those things together, that's when, and is it not you that did this and did that and did that, and I began to feel bad and feel this thing? She's asking that what happens to that minister? Is it that the person has not really repented or something and all of that? Amen. Okay. Because I want to say something before we shift away from there, let me say it. From that questions that you raised and that Mommy Obileya also raised, if you look at Jesus, what is the way he reacted, the way he reacted after everything that God has done through him. If you can look at it closely and act accordingly, do you understand? Sincerely, we will not be falling short. For example, Jesus raised the dead. He did this, and you know, there were times he would tell some people that don't, you know, go and tell the minister that the Lord has, you know, I mean, go and show yourself to some people, and at another time he will say, don't say anything. Do you understand? If we look at if you study the life of Jesus and the way he carries himself and the way he acted and the way he, maybe if there was any way that Jesus praised himself after any of those things, then that will help us whether to continue to say, I am a genius. Look at what I have done. Do you understand? Thank you. Is that clear? Alright, okay. My straight question answer to that one is that man has not been completely saved, has not received justification. I don't know if you get what I mean, receive justification. If your salvation is correct, you will not feel bad about people accusing you of the past. There was a way, Paul that said that I bear on me the mark of what? Henceforth, let no man trouble me. So if there's anyone that is still in that, and if it is you, if it's you are in that situation, I think we should let's meet after the meeting, or you meet with Abraham, so that we'll talk more about that. That is much more on the process of salvation. All right. Mom, you want to ask your question now?
Abraham answered, it's about this, my brother. I didn't want to talk, but the thing continued coming. I'm sure that it's not okay with the answer.
The answer?
Yes, because he asked him that, depending on the kind of business, when he asked a question, I was opportune to, there was a time I was opportune to be between where they say spare parts and plumbing parts at the better. I own the shop there before. So I became used to the boys there, the way they say, the way they transact. So I think it's something like that you want to talk about. So those boys, those plumbers, when they sometimes they will all receive. Once they see anyone carrying bag or sack, you know, coming or pack a car, either it comes to sale or it comes to buy. So sometimes they bring old things breaking away, or maybe renovated house. They will just pack their things to those
sure. to those shops to say, either like all these WC, washing basin, and you see these boys, they bring them. Some are genuine. Some are stolen. They break into people's place or new buildings and remove those things. The some are from the renovated apartments that they just want to give away. So, in that case, if what they do, when they see anybody, they rush. Those boys, they rush. They buy. They just take them inside and buy those things. When they buy those things, you see them the whole evening washing, brushing, spraying. It becomes new one. So they make, they still sell them like new one, mix up with their new one. So they make more gain on it. So every one of them rushes. Sometimes too, they will bring like that and they will buy. Before they will be counting money or before tomorrow, before you will see police with that same person. They will come and make arrest. Arrest them, you have bought a stolen thing, and they have to go in and face the consequence. So, if brother's business is that kind of business that he's doing, because I still have one of the boys born again there, that one does not rush with them. And they say, also Afia. So that one does not go to the also, do the also Afia with them. It doesn't rush with them. He will just stay. And all the time, that one is always broke. Because when they will be buying pepper soup, buying things like this cold time, I remember I used to take water of the pepper soup to give that boy. Because he does not rush with them. He's always afraid. And when you ask him, we say, he's waiting. Anyone that comes straight to him, that God sent to him, that if nobody, no matter how they rush, it will surely come to him. He gets, but not all the time, like the ones that rush. So if this, in that case, if you are a born again, or you're giving your life, and you find yourself in that kind of business, or around that kind of business place, I think that is when the kind of question that he asks, when you see a customer coming, can you ask the Holy Spirit? I think in that situation, that is when that kind of question can come in. Because when you see somebody coming with you, and you can say, ask Holy Spirit, can I transact this business or not?
All right, my grandma. I am a technician, and I think I will see Brashegun after the meeting to finalize that matter. Thank you, grandma, for that. I know that there are times when, but it's not in the light of what grandma, that, of course, I know there are times when you will take customer to a place to buy market, and the person that brought the customer will be eyeing you and saying, inflate the price. Now, I'm sure that is not what he is saying, because as a Christian, you know that one is outrightly, you know, out of it. But as a technician, when you and we have also quite a number of them here, when you are asking for a job and a job came in, and especially when you open a shop. Now, why Brebran was saying that when you open a shop, you know that the opening of the shop is for you to attend to customer. For example, I'm selling biscuits, and a customer comes and wants to buy a biscuit, and they are saying that Holy Spirit, is this boy that brought, is it this money, where did it, is it stolen? Is it the mother's money or the father's money or his own money? You know, but the Holy Spirit will help us. We'll sort all that out. But I know that when a job comes in, and at certain you know, some instances, when you want to get a job and the job is brought to you, it's possible that you have a restriction in your spirit from getting that job, but not at all time asking Holy Spirit, is this like you said? I don't know. That's what Abraham is saying, that
every job that comes, Holy Spirit, this is your God. No, when you attend to customer, you are, of course, you work in the Spirit. If there's a restriction at that point, what kind of electrician are you, sir? Electrical, very good. And at that point, the Holy Spirit is asking you, there's a restriction that, no, don't attend to this customer. Do not take this job. Like what Brother Joshua also said, you know, then that is possible. But for every job that comes in, especially when you open a shop and saying that, Holy Spirit, should I take this job? Holy Spirit, should I take this job? And you say, go ahead, don't go. You know, we should be careful around that. Because sometimes the flesh can also intrude. See, you get the flesh can intrude and make you. But when you live in the Spirit and you want to get a job and you have a strong restriction from, you say, sorry, I will not be able to attend to this job. Maybe some other time. Thank you. That's all. Let us pray. Father, Lord, we thank you for today. Sin is a strong matter and is something that you don't joke with our God, and that is the only and major issue that you have with us as men. Heavenly Father, we pray that you give us victory over this matter in this meeting in the name of Jesus. Complete and final victory. And you will make us vessels to further your own interests on this matter wherever we are found in the name of Jesus. Thank you, our God. We give you praise, our Savior. In Jesus' name we are praying.
Having listened to the undiluted word of God, we implore you to respond to this message prayerfully. Remember, it is what you do with what you hear that brings about transformation. For further inquiries or counsel, or for more information on our discipleship leaders, please contact us on
080-334-80-58, 080-813-3-8536, 080-7455-8177, 081-4099-1321.
Or visit our blogspot at www.reformationplatform.com. When it's all been said and done, there is just one thing that matters. Did I do my best to live for truth? Did I live my life?